All right, class, let's take up from the last session. You still see I'm dressed the same way I'm doing both classes at one time. I got a lot of things going on now. But I want you to remember what we talked about, checking your receiver. It's never on God's releasing end. It's never, God is never holding anything back from you that he said belonged to you in his word. So when you properly understand how to receive from your ownership, in which I talked about in the last session a few minutes ago, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Let's take up some scriptures here. I'll take up some insight here. See what you can do with this statement. It is infinitely easier to release something you know and believe you already have than it is to try to get something you don't. Now, see, that's a powerful statement for this class, because we're talking about John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to give he the power to become the Son of God. So my aim in these classes to you as a minister, as a person, to know how to receive what is already yours. Depression, hard time, hardship, doubt, unbelief, barely getting by, that's not from God. God has provided you. I'm come that you have life, you have it more abundant. It's that thief on the beginning of the verse. I told you in Ephesians 3:20, it's on you, it's not on God now. So let me read this to you again. It is infinitely easier to release something you know and believe, you already have than to try to get something you don't. If you're not absolutely convinced that you already got it, wow, you either submit to or have the valid thought that you won't get it. However, once you know it's yours, how could you doubt you'll get it? This is simple but profound. You already got it. Say, I already have it. All right, I'm going to go a little further here. Ephesians, I say it to you, but I'm going to repeat it. So I want you to read Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians. First three chapter, I already got it. The last three chapters tell you how to activate it. Now, here's what happened to the grace, so-called grace message. I watched it over the years. When the Lord tried to bring the real revelation of grace into the church, men separated the grace message and the faith message. And what happened, there were those in error trying to teach grace because they were saying you almost can live any kind of way because you already got grace. They didn't understand that grace bespeak holiness, because you know that Satan can't steal from you and can't make you sin. Grace carry a holiness anointing. Grace make me more like God. Make me more like Jesus. Make me more like the Holy Spirit. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, talking about sanctifying my spirit, soul, and body, is part of Romans 12:1-3. And see, also, it's bringing in line, even write your scripture down. It's bringing in John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickens the flesh, profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's where you want to stay, in that functioning of the realm of spirit and life. You want to function different. You want to function at a deeper and a higher gratitude and attitude. in the spirit. I've am to do that. Whoever I have to cut loose, I cut them loose. Whoever cut me loose, let them cut me loose, because I want to stay close to God. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. This is a glorious position when God calls you. No matter what obstacles come up, the calling of God is so powerful. It's such a privilege, such an opportunity. I've loved every step of it, with the opposition, et cetera, et cetera. But I've always been a student. I'm already willing to go for more. And we're at a stage now, there's a remnant of us that going to bring the body of Christ into ownership, the ownership anointing. And people are going to start rising up out of sickness, out of poverty. You just watch it. Just stick with it. All right? So Ephesians was written from the perspective of what has already taken place. I got that, but I'll be repeating that. I want to go over that over and over again. A few more things I want to show you. Let's go back over this. Notice the terminology here. Blessed be God who has, past tense. It has already been done. We're blessed with all spirits of blessing. Now, some people argue, well, this means only in the spiritual thing, in that realm, not in practical, personal way. It is just in heavenly places that we have been blessed. Really, all spirits of blessing in heavenly places in Christ is just an old English way of expressing the truth that God has already blessed us with everything. And it is in the spirit realm. And I remember I told you the bridge was the bridge to bring what in the spirit realm into the natural realm, or into the flesh realm, or into the worldly realm. It's your faith. Everything that God has done for you has already been deposited in your born again spirit. I'm going to repeat some things, Claire, because this is new stuff. Although it's already there, you must draw it out of the spirit and into the physical realm. If God has already blessed you, which Ephesians 1:3 clearly reveals, then why do you keep asking him to bless you? Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So if he's already blessed me, why I got to constantly, Lord, will you bless me? Lord, thank you that I'm blessed. The reason you keep praying, asking, and seeking God's blessing is because you don't truly believe you're already blessed. See, you got to claim your blessing, name your blessing. You got to begin to receive. An appropriate way to pray is, Father, your word promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and where two or three are gathered together in your name, there's a special presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that you're here. We believe it. We want it manifest. We don't want you to just be here in the spirit realm. We desire to yield to you to the point you can manifest yourself in healing, deliverance, joy, peace, salvation, and the Holy Spirit baptism. We want you to be free to manifest yourself and do what you want to do. Now, Claire, that's the proper way to pray, because you're praying in agreement with God's word. You're saying, we believe your promises, but we want them to manifest. We desire for you to come from the spirit world into the physical manifestation. God, the one with the transmitter, he's the giver of all earthly and spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:3 again. And he's already transmitted them to you. That is powerful. You might understand a minister knowing that. Everything comes from God, but he's already transmitted. So it's a transmission and a receiving. It's grace and faith. If you aren't seeing them manifest in your life, the problem isn't with God's transmitter. You need to fix your receiver. In Psalm 51:10-12, David prayed this and repented of his sin with Bathsheba. Listen. However, for a New Testament believer to say, oh God, cast me not away from your presence. Please, don't leave me. It's an insult against what Jesus came to do. I'll never leave you, never forsake you, will not feed you. David didn't have a covenant that promised God would stick with him through anything. The old covenant was based upon performance. So God did come and go. Old Testament people weren't born again. They didn't have eternal redemption, the way it's spoken of in the New Covenant. That's Hebrews 9, 12, and 14. However, Jesus promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So if you're a born-again believer and don't feel the presence of God, for you to pray in this prayer that David prayed and said, cast me not away from your presence, renew a right spirit within me, take not your Holy Spirit from me, means you don't understand what benefits you have in your covenant. You're in unbelief, not believing the new covenant. Instead of praying in unbelief and then wondering why you aren't seeing better results, you need to pray in faith. We talk about it, everything's already yours. I'm going to read this thing to you. In the prayer of faith that will save the sick, it's the prayer of faith, James 5:15. It is the prayer of faith that will bring you deliverance and joy. Say, Father, I don't feel you. I don't feel you here. There's simply no tangible indicating your presence in my life right now. Everything going south. But Father, your word said that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I know that you're here. Whatever is causing these problems in my life is not you. I know that you have not forsaken me. I ask you now to help me see what I've done to turn away from you. As I seek you, please help me to make the connection and release this life you place inside of me. I know your Holy Spirit is still here. I know your blessings are still here. I'm believing that they'll be released. I refuse to have these other things that praying a prayer of faith. So he's talking about how to defend your position that is already yours. There's still a fight, but the fight is to stand in victory that God has already purchased for you, not to go out and win one. Listen, Glad, there's a big difference. I discovered that defending a position that was already held is much easier to take a new one. Stick with me a minute, I want you to have this. Much more effort is needed to go conquer something you don't yet have than to defend something that you're already yours. You heard that? Much more, and that's basically where the body of Christ is. Much more effort is needed to go conquer something. And the Bible says in what? Romans 8, nay, in all these things, we're more than a conqueror. Why? Because it's already ours. No matter what opposition, what attack, the enemy try to bring on you, you already a conqueror. Whatever you may be dealing with right now, you're dealing with it as a conqueror. Step in your conquering position. It's already defeated. Nothing can whoop you. Nothing can overcome you. Nothing can overtake you. Nothing can hold you down. Nothing can block you. Nothing can lock you. Because you're more than a conqueror right now. Listen to this statement. Much more effort is needed to go conquer something you don't yet have than to defend something that's already yours. So as a conqueror, you're just defending what's already yours. You don't have to conquer it. It's already yours. You need to believe that you're already blessed. It's back to Ephesians 1:3 again. God has already given you healing, wisdom, revelation, prosperity, joy, peace, everything that you ever need. You're born again. Spirit is already as perfect, complete, and full of God's blessing and power as it ever will be throughout all eternity. You're already there. Now, this statement here is going to throw you a little bit, but I'm going to say it. We're going to clarify it. 1/3 of your salvation is over. Your spirit is completely saved. It's identical to Jesus. It has his joy, his peace, his knowledge, his love, and his fruit. One third of you. You got the other two parts, you know. Everything that is true of Jesus is true of your born-again spirit. What? There's no inadequacies. It's not in the process of growing up into these things. It's already there. You're just like Jesus in your spirit. You have the same power, same anointing. It's not that these things are in your spirit in seed form, but they have to mature. No, they're already complete and full grown in the spirit. All you have to do, class, is renew your mind. Let these things manifest themselves through you. My goodness. If this isn't a revelation to you, you need it fully to understand what I'm sharing. God has already done it. That's the type of gospel you got to preach. That's the type of anointing you got to release when you're ministering to people. Let them know it's already done. Let them know where it is. It's in the spirit. In Revelation 1:10, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And because I was in the spirit, I heard some things. Because I was in the spirit, I saw some things. That means, class, when you're in the spirit, you're going to see what belongs to you. When you're in the spirit, you're going to hear some things. When you're in the spirit, you're going to see some things. Walk in the spirit. Talk in the spirit. Flow in the spirit. You're designed to do it. You're a spirit. You have a soul. And you live in a body. Yes, when you start out ministering, just like I start out here, you'll start out sometime in the flesh, but just keep ministering because the Holy Spirit will come in and find a volume, a capacity of anointing will come. That's one of the things that God told me about his school. He told me to open a school that the anointing that is on my life can be passed on to the student. There's no distance in the spirit. I feel an anointing being released now that will make everything different in your life and in your ministry. It's God. It's not. You see, here's a trail of thought I want you to take on a sideline from what I'm teaching. Romans 8:26-28. I want to take you to a stage of the anointing. Number one, when you look at Romans 8:26, the first thing you're going to see is your infirmity. You have them. I have them. Everybody have them. But next, when you start praying in the spirit, you're going to step into the mind of the spirit. Next step, you're going to step into the will of God. We're talking about Romans 8:26-28. The next stage you're going to step into is God have created a capacity in you to love God, and God loves you. And then on your life, there's a calling. And then you put your calling in God's purpose. So therefore, Romans 8:28 says, and this is my life. All things work together for good for them that love God, those who are called according to his purpose. So I want you to see that there's 6 or 7 stages that you go through. You're always going to have your infirmity as long as you're in this flesh and bone body. But in the spirit, you start out teaching, you read your scripture, you may have an outline, but all of a sudden, you'll find out you've stepped into the spirit. And then, while you're in the spirit, while you're ministering, supernatural thoughts are going to come through your mind. Statements that you've never heard before in your life. Statements that you've never made. But they're going to be so fresh that you speak them out while you're speaking. And it catches the people. Just like I do in this class. See, I, Romans 8:26-28 wasn't on my mind when I started ministering. But then the Holy Spirit said, tell them about those stages. So your infirmity is there. But then the mind of the Spirit is waiting on you. The will of God, the love for God, the call of God, and the purpose of God. I want you to look over Romans 8:26-28. I want you to get, and I pray in the Spirit much. I pray in the Spirit hours and hours. Because I know you're always building yourself up on your most holy faith when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. Coming out the natural man into that man or woman who already got everything. And all the benefits start flowing in your life. Benefits such as found in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul. First three verses. Forget not all his benefits. We're talking about benefits that belong to us already. Forgive all our sin. It's five of them. Heal all our diseases. Crown our head with loving kindness, tender mercy. Satisfy our mouth with good things and one I miss. That he may renew our youth like the eagle. Don't forget Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Raha, my shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, he's present with me. Jehovah Nissi, he's a banner over my head. Those moments that fresh and foreign anointing will come on you, then everybody you're teaching will know the Spirit of the Lord on her, the Spirit of the Lord on him. See. Know how to yield to the Holy Spirit class. Don't care how fumbling it may be to you, somebody getting blessed. Somebody getting healed, somebody getting the answer. Somebody sapping up the presence of God, coming out of your calling, coming out of your anointing, coming out of your yielding to the Spirit of grace. What? Yielding to the Spirit of ownership. Spirit of grace. Faith and grace are now tied into one another with the anointing. Faith, grace, and the anointing. All are in the sanctuary or in the auditorium. You know, I've preached in Madison Square Garden. I've seen it happen over and over again. I preached some of the largest ministries in the world. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar, just ministers all over. Kenneth Copeland, Jesse DePlanet, all those ministers I've ministered in those ministries. The anointing come upon you. I pronounce a sweeping anointing on everybody in this class tonight. And what it is, Lord? An anointing of inheritance, of supernatural portals begin to open in your life and your ministry. Places that you can't find in a book. They're a special place for you in your life, in your ministry. Reserved for you. Nobody else walked in it before. It's your ground. You have to know that. You have to know that it's not where you are, it's who you are. And you have to know that the Spirit of God is powerful. Whew. Whew. Hallelujah. Whew. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now class, I want you to pay attention when the anointing come on me. and I move from a natural man into a man of the Spirit. Won't you pay attention? Self-same anointing should rest upon you. God has already done it. You got to remember that. There was an actual transformation that took place in your spirit the very moment you were born again. And now you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Get fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23. You are right now in your spirit, identical to Jesus. Look at 1 John, again, 4:17. I may be going back over some things, but that's all right. I pray God, I come to classes that the Spirit of God can move. Yeah, and our love made perfect that we have boldness in the day of judgment in 1 John 4:17. When you're in the Spirit, listen, because as He is, so are we in the world. When you're in the Spirit, you're just like Him. The same power that raised Christ from the dead now live on the inside of you. I'm going to just give you the scripture. Ephesians 1:19, you know it, and verse 20. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to it. We've been talking last session, this session. It is infinitely easier to release something you know and believe you already have than it is to try to get something you don't. See, that's the main thing, you know you have it. If you're not absolutely convinced that you already got it, you'll either submit to or have the battle of thoughts that you won't get it. Come on, Claire. Everything that God has for you, everything that God's going to do for you, you already have. What? However, once you know it's yours, how could you doubt you're going to get it? This is simple, but so profound. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. Why, Apostle? Because you can't handle it. So there are stages and revelation and growth and victories, even somewhat seem defeat, that you're going to have to go through to be able to handle when you arrive. I wouldn't want to be in the position I'm in now had not I went to the school of ministry. Went through different stages in life, different position, different opportunity. That's why that rich young ruler couldn't handle it. I don't think he went through the stage. He must have inherited it. He couldn't handle it when Jesus checked him out and said, sell all you have. The Bible said he went away sad. That's why I'm teaching in Money Comings Demonstrators that you're going to have to pass the seed test before you can walk in real prosperity. Listen to this statement. You believe God can heal you, but you're waiting for Him to do so. That's wrong. Whoa. You believe God can heal you, but you're waiting on Him to do so. That's wrong. You're already healed. Now, just because you don't have your right arm still hurt doesn't mean you don't have it. But you're going to travel by faith now and speak out and tell, take your hand off of my body right now. Any pain hits your body, you're supposed to talk to it. No, you don't. Don't cry about it. God has already released His healing power. You aren't waiting for God to heal you. He released it. With Jesus' stripe, you are healed. God is waiting on you to appropriate what He has already done. That's your finances too. That's your family. That's everything. Let's go back over that television signal. The signal is already being broadcast. If you aren't seeing the picture, it's not God who isn't transmitting, it's your receiver that isn't working right. Listen, class, here's what. You need to get into the honor manual, God's word, and start studying. God's word is an honor manual. It's not something that I found out that God wants me to have. No, you'll find out what you own. Find out how to turn that thing on. Tune in. It in. Eliminate the static. And deal with things to get the best reception. Don't say I'm waiting on God. That's not how it works. By whose stripe you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Now, I know the Bible says, yeah, wait on the Lord shall renew the strength. But you wait in the fact knowing that you're already yours. God is waiting on you to believe and receive. Don't fight to get healed. Fight because you're already healed. Don't fight to get rich. Fight because you're already rich. Don't fight in an attempt to obtain healing. Fight to defend the healing that already been provided for you in Christ. Allow, class, this revelation to sink in and change your attitude toward everything you receive from the Lord. Let me close out here. Don't fight to get healed. Fight because you're already healed. And that's in every aspect, not just healing. Every aspect of the blessings of God, you already have those blessings. There's a time I want to. Every now and then I deal with questions that people may have to deal with the questions also. I don't have all the answers, but God have them. Just pay attention, class, and remember that you own everything. I'll close, and I'll see you in the next session.